from Joshua chapter 4. So if you turn in your Bibles to that passage, you can find it on page 226 if you're using the Pew Bible. That's Joshua chapter 4. It can be found on page 226. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.'" So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to a lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. For the priests who carried the Ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they come up from the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, "Come up from the Jordan." It came about when the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and went all over the banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month, and camped at Gilgal, on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever." May the Lord your God bless the reading of his word. Today we are continuing our series through the book of Joshua. As you may remember from the last passage, that the people of Israel had just crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, that they may conquer it. In order to cross the Jordan River, the Lord, by the way of the Ark, as a symbol of his presence, entered into the river and commanded that the waters stop. The priests who entered the river with the Ark walked on dry ground as the waters gathered behind them. The rest of Israel was then able to cross the river on dry ground as well, into the promised land. However, they had to cross it about half a mile downstream from where the ark was. Now, in this passage, the people have finished crossing over. And you may remember that in the last passage, there was this seemingly out-of-place verse in the passage about how Joshua had 12 men appointed from amongst each of the tribes of Israel. From chapter 3, verse 12, "Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe." At the time, this passage, or this verse, was a bit strange and didn't seem to fit into place amongst the context of the rest of the chapter. But now in this passage, Joshua 4, Joshua takes these 12 men and sends them back into the river where the ark had been standing to gather 12 stones. A stone for each man chosen, one for each of the tribes of Israel. This passage then goes on to show what these stones are for. The Lord tells his people these stones are to be used as a memorial for them. Now, most of you have an idea of what a memorial is. When you go to almost any park, you're going to see statues and plaques that are a memorial of sorts. And they point to some sort of person or event of historical significance. Last weekend, when Joyce and I went to Ohio to visit family, my dad took us around his hometown area, and we went to the memorial for fallen timber. And in the middle of this memorial park was a statue to this important general named Anthony Wayne. And on the sides of the memorial were depictions of the battle to help tell its story. That was the purpose of this memorial. But what about this memorial in Joshua that Israel was commanded to build? And the memorial that Joshua builds in the middle of the river. What is the purpose of these memorials? What are they supposed to point to? And what is their story? So today we are going to look at how this passage lists three purposes for these memorials. Those purposes being to remind us, to teach us, and to proclaim God's message. First, the memorial is to remind the people of Israel. The end of verse 7 reads, "Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed into Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." Now, this passage says that this is supposed to be a memorial to the sons of Israel. Most memorials are marked to someone, and that someone or something is often the object of the memorial, the person or thing it's supposed to point to. The memorial we went to with my dad was to a man named Anthony Wayne and to the event of the Battle of Fallen Timbers. But this memorial is to the sons of Israel, not in the same manner. Rather, it is to the sons of Israel, as it is for their benefit. It is to serve as a reminder for them. The memorial is set up before Israel as a reminder, much as the priestly breastplate was brought before the Lord as a reminder of the people of Israel. From Exodus 28:29, "Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually." In that passage, the names of the sons of Israel are set before the Lord on his breastplate, that they may be a memorial, that is, a reminder to the Lord of his people and who Aaron comes as a representative. And so this memorial in Joshua is set before the Lord to also serve as a reminder of this event in Israel's history. The memorial is built out of stones in the bottom of the river, which would be smooth as they were formed by the flowing river, as they would be set to remind the people of Israel of their miraculous accomplishment done through the power of God, that his promises may stand for his people. But this was not just to serve as a reminder for the people who were there, but this memorial served the people who had not seen it firsthand, who had not experienced this event on their own. It is to serve as a reminder for the coming generations. If you take a couple hours drive east, eventually you might find yourself in Gettysburg, a town filled with memorials to the battle that happened there. And while none of you were alive during that time, these memorials still stir up in you a reminder of the events that occurred there. It stir up the stories of the battles you've heard, what you've read, what you've been taught in classes. These memorials serve to keep alive the memory of the events that happened there and in the history of this nation, both for the American people and for the people of the rest of the world. The events associated with these memorials in Joshua must be taught and passed down to the coming generations, that they too may know the power of God and his love for his people. Which brings us to the second purpose of these memorials, and that is to teach the Lord's people. After Israel had crossed the river and set up camp in Gilgal, Joshua sets up the memorial from the rocks, from verses 19 and 20. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Now, the passage does not say exactly how these stones were set up, how Joshua set up this memorial. Some commentators believe that they were set up in a circle, as the place they camped, that is Gilgal, means circle, but this cannot be confirmed. But what can be said about how Joshua set up this memorial is that it was set up in a way that would bring about curiosity, especially in young children. From verses 6 and 7. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" then you shall say to them, "It is expected that when the children of Israel would happen upon these stones, that they would turn to their parents and ask what they were there for. Why is there this random pile of rocks in the middle of town? What do they mean?" And it was then expected of the parents to tell them what they meant. The parents were to use these rocks to teach their children about the Lord. And this motif of teaching your children is strong and can be found in other parts of Scripture. For example, back in Exodus, when God institutes the Passover, God says, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and for your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes.'" And so just as the Passover was set as a memorial day for Israel, to remember what the Lord had done for them back in Egypt, it also served as a testimony to their children, that they may know two things from this event: that the Lord is powerful, and that the Lord is with his people. The first time this question is mentioned from the children in this passage, we get this response in verse 7. because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And so the parents were to teach about the all-powerfulness of the Lord, how He is ruler over His creation, how He commanded the waters of the Jordan, and they listened, because they are His. That all creation bows to the will of the Lord God. And the second time the children ask the question, we get this response from verse 22. That Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. Parents are then to teach, show, and tell of the time the Lord used His power for the benefit of His people. And not just some of them, but all of them. Each stone in this memorial represents one of the tribes of Israel. That it may be remembered that all of Israel was spared and delivered into the promised land. The Lord's promise is for the whole of His people. And it's by teaching and passing along these stories and teachings concerning the wonders of the Lord, the whole world will also then come to know and fear Him. And so that brings us to the third purpose of these memorials, and that is to proclaim. This memorial is not just for the sake of Israel, but also is to serve as a proclamation to the rest of the nations of the power of God, His reign over the earth, and that these people are His, and He will take care of them. From verse 24. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord, your God, forever. Now, it is unlikely that many foreign people would see this memorial, let alone know what it means, or be like the children of Israel and ask the people around them and ask them to tell them the story. And yet, it is to serve as a proclamation to the world of the wonders of the Lord. Back in chapter 2, Rahab told the spies that her people had heard of the wonders the Lord had done for Israel. How He split the Red Sea and how He gave them victory after victory as they wandered through the desert. The stories had gotten around. People have now know what had happened. And it is through those stories that the Lord proclaims to the people of the world. And these stories are told by His people. By keeping this memorial, by being reminded of the story and dwelling on the power of the Lord and His love for His people, do His people then go out into the world bearing this message? It is not the memorial itself that teaches the people of the world. It simply helps keep the story alive, that the people may be messengers to others. Today in this congregation, we'll be participating in a similar memorial, one that was instituted by the Lord Jesus Himself, the Lord's Supper. Like this memorial in Joshua, the Lord's Supper also serves to remind, to teach, and to proclaim the great work of the Lord to save His people and to bring about His promised rest. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As you partake today in this sacrament, it is to be done in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, his power to save, and his desire and love for his people. But he accomplished this work on the cross, sacrificing himself. For his people, did Christ stand in the way of the wrath that was set for them, sacrificing himself for your sake, that you may walk on dry ground and enter the promised rest. And by that life, that you are then able to go and proclaim to others this good news. It is not by eating the bread and drinking from the cup that the word is proclaimed. But you, when you take partake in the sacrament, do you proclaim the gospel truth? That Christ died for the sins of his people, and that he will come again. Today, you do not have access to this memorial in Joshua. You do not have access to the Passover, nor any other institution or ceremony from the Old Testament. These institutions and memorials are now like the memorial that Joshua had built in the river. While it is said that Joshua built it, the river never would have caused it to be seen. It is not evident to those who looked out upon the river that there was this memorial in place. Yet Israel knew it was there. And so likewise do you know by an unseen memorial that Christ reigns. And that is by the word and the spirit of the Lord as it dwells in you. The Lord has caused his name to dwell in his people, that you may be a memorial unto the Lord, that you may point others to the wonders and the works of God. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters, to dwell and to be reminded of the power and mercy of God and the work of his Son for your benefit, that you may be a good witness of his glory to your children and to the world. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for this time for us to hear your word. We thank you for the work of your Son. We ask that we be constantly reminded of his power and his sacrifice, that we may attain salvation through him. We ask now that as we partake in this supper, that we remember this sacrifice that he has accomplished for us, that he stood in the way of wrath that we deserved, that we may enter into the promised rest. May this ever stand as a memorial to his work. We ask that we may be witnesses to this work, to the world, that may be proclaimed through us the work of your Son. We ask now that you would bless this time as we partake of this supper and we receive grace from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.